You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Odyssey Sports presents Big Time Baseball with former Major Leaguer Tony Gwynn Jr. and Odyssey Insider Cody Decker.
It's a new week in Major League Baseball, a new week in life, and of course you got yourselves a new Big Time Baseball right here on Odyssey Sports. I'm Cody Decker, former professional baseball player, turned professional smartass on the radio, and most importantly, with me as always, the one, the only, Tony Gwynn Jr. Tony, how you doing, man? How you been these last 2 weeks? I missed you last week.
Yeah, man, it's been a couple of weeks, but we're back at it this week. I'm doing all right. I don't know how the city of San Diego is feeling, however. Falling one game back, but we're going to get into all that here in a sec. Good to be with you, Cody, and got a lot to go over this week, man.
So much to go over, because just over the weekend, the entire dichotomy of the playoff picture has completely changed, completely shifted, and teams that we loved all year, and I mean all year, teams that were up around the first place, teams that we have adamantly said are one of the best teams in baseball, they have all fallen off on hard times, and we will get to all of that. But first things first, let's get to the main thing. Yesterday, we had something to celebrate in Major League Baseball, and that is Miguel Cabrera hitting his 500th home run, only the 28th player in the history of Major League Baseball to do it. Up next, 3,000 hits, which would put him in elite of elite of elite of elite categories of 500, 3,000, only a couple even in our lifetimes. Whenever I think of a 3,000 hit guy, 500 home run guy, Tony, the first name that comes to my mind, because to me, whenever I saw him play in Dodger Stadium as a kid, and he came back as a veteran player, he was there when I was a little kid, he came back as a veteran player, and every time he came to the plate, Chavez Ravine was rocking with Eddie. I think of Eddie Murray as the number one guy for me, 3,500. Who comes to mind with you?
You know what, Cody? I would have to 100% agree with you. That was the first time in my childhood that I remember seeing somebody do 3,000 hits, 500 home runs. Eddie Murray happens to be the same guy that I think of, too. And I don't know that everybody thinks of Eddie when it comes to those type of numbers, but clearly, it's an elite company. There's only, what, six players now, seven, to have ever done it. And, you know, it's an accomplishment that I don't think we're going to continue to see very often. I mean, that's how legitimate this is, and especially the way the game is played now. But it's an amazing feat. Listen, for me, Miguel Cabrera is top two right-handed hitters top three right-handed hitters I ever had a chance to share a field with. I mean, Pujols, him, and then probably Manny Ramirez in my eyes. And that's elite company. I mean, I think at this point, and probably even before this point, he was a Hall of Famer, and I think this is only solidifying that.
And what's amazing, you mentioned the six players, and now just hear these names that Miguel Cabrera has the potential to getting into. And why we say potential is because he's currently sitting on 2,955 hits. He's 45 hits away. He could absolutely do this season. I hope he does. But here are the names that he's being in the same category with: Hank Aaron, Willie Mays, Rafael Palmeiro, Albert Pujols, Alex Rodriguez, and Eddie Murray. All of which, with the exception of Palmeiro and Rodriguez and Pujols, who will be a Hall of Famer, all of which Hall of Famers, all of which are arguably should be on the Mount Rushmore of Major League Baseball. I mean, Miguel Cabrera is a guy that I don't, is it because he's in Detroit that we just don't pay attention to the amount of dominance that he absolutely has done over the past 20 years?
I think that is the reason now. I mean, because at one time, Detroit was one of the teams in the American League that we paid attention to. It doesn't seem like it was that long ago. So I think now, because they're in the situation that they are in, we tend not to pay a whole lot of attention to Miguel. And he's slowed down a little bit. He's not doing the same type of stuff he was doing earlier in his career as he's gotten older. But nevertheless, this is a guy who should be getting that type of love and that type of attention, because not only is he closing in on 3,000 hits, he's also closing in on 1,500 RBIs. Like, I mean, the guy is just having as I said, a Hall of Fame career. So I don't know why we're not paying attention to him as much as we used to, but it certainly seems like we should be doing just that.
And, you know, you mentioned that one of the best right-handed hitters you've ever shared a field with. I've sadly never got to share a field with Miguel Cabrera, but I have probably of any, I don't normally break down other players' swings that very often to, you know, try and nitpick something for myself. Miguel Cabrera's swing is absolutely one of the swings I would always look at, because there's absolutely certain things he could do. There's something, what he could do with his barrel path, how he stays through the zone, is arguably second to none, I think, in all of baseball. Like, it's just, his swing seems effortless. And I agree that he's a huge guy and he gets away with being a little bit more effortless, but just that path through the zone, his timing, and how simple his swing is, just to me makes him one of the best right-handed hitters to watch at any time, at any point in history.
And forgive me, I said 1,500. I meant 1,800 RBIs he's closing in on. You're 100% right. He is that swing. I mean, for a hitting nerd, a self-claimed hitting nerd, he's one of the guys I always looked at. His lower half works as good as anybody in baseball, and it always has, which is why he's been able to really go pole to pole on the field with authority. And yes, he is big, but he wasn't always big, and he was still doing those same type of things. So I just think as he's gotten older, the effort can become a little bit less because he is bigger, stronger than he was earlier. But he's, from the moment he stepped on the field, he was that dude at the plate. And so, not a surprise to see him closing in on the milestones that he is closing in on.
Well, we teased it at the beginning of the show. We've gone a full 5 minutes of gushing about how much we love about Miguel Cabrera. Now we got to get to the darkness of Major League Baseball, and that darkness is the NL wild card. Mm. What can you say? What word can you use other than, quite frankly, and I hate to use this word because we use teams all season. We had like the Mets that we loved, even though we knew they were underperforming. We know they can hit, but they just weren't. But they were in first place by a handed amount. We had the Padres, who were right up there with the top two teams in the NL West, who were right up there with the Dodgers and Giants in record. Both of these teams absolutely collapsed in these last couple of weeks. The Mets falling out of first place all the way down to third place in their division. The Padres falling out of the wild card and falling back above double digits behind the Dodgers, who are currently in second place for the first wild card. What is happening now, right now? You got the Reds that just got into the second wild card. It is pure chaos and madness. And you mentioned at the top of the show how much panic is taking place in San Diego.
I think first and foremost, and don't look now, all of a sudden the Dodgers are starting to close the gap there on the Giants. So a lot of these things, I'll defend us on one part. At least with the Mets, we always had the caveat that somebody could catch them because nobody was really running away with the division. And that's exactly what's happened in the National League East. You had both Philly and the Braves catching. Now those two seem to be toggling for that top spot. Now the Padres is there's no way around it. It's just a complete surprise to see what has happened. It started out as kind of an underperforming from a starting pitching standpoint. But then it turned into that plus injuries. You're already in probably the toughest division in the National League. And so with that, all of a sudden you've seen the slide. The Padres offense has been inconsistent, kind of, you know, when you compare it to the 2020 season, and by albeit there were 60 games and a DH there, Those things don't exist this year. However, they haven't lived up to that same standard. And because of that, and you factor in Joey Votto putting the offense and the Reds on his back and having an MVP run right now, all of a sudden it's a perfect mix for a slide. And the Padres have played below 500 baseball since the break. And listen, that's generally not going to get it done. And here they are now, one game behind the Cincinnati Reds for that second wild card spot.
Now, beginning of the season, we were talking about how the Padres absolutely loaded up their pitching staffs, and they did. But look at them now. They're running out a skeleton crew. They're rolling out right now arguably a two-man rotation.
Yeah.
And you just can't compete with that, and especially that part of that two-man rotation. I don't want to badmouth Blake Snell, because Blake Snell is a hell of a pitcher, but I think Blake Snell would even be the first one to say he has not pitched to his potential this season in San Diego. Yu Darvish being hurt, that's a huge, huge hit. I'm looking forward to Yu Darvish joining the team again, but I do have a theory, and I would love to get your take on this, Tony. And the reason why it comes to mind is because in 2015, when AJ Preller first became the general manager of the San Diego Padres, you know, the Padres made a lot of trades. They got Matt Kemp. They went and got BJ Upton. They went and got Justin Upton. They went and got Craig Kimbrell. All these new bodies that came in that were all huge. And I remember one time we were sitting there in spring training, and the clubhouse was not exactly the most fun place during spring training. There were players on the team that already weren't getting along. You can kind of see it. And I remember I was out at a bar one night, and AJ Preller was there, and he asked me what I thought about the team, because I've been with the organization for a while. And I just said, you know, there's a couple of weird hiccups that I'm starting to see that, I don't know, I'm a little concerned. And me being a AAA guy, having actually saying this, was clear that I had a couple of drinks in me. But he he asked.
Right.
He asked, so I told him. And I think, I don't know this, I don't know whether he was mad at me from that or he appreciated the honesty, but he did say a phrase that it stuck with me. And that seems like something that the Padres have stuck with ever since. And he said, yeah, but you know, Cody, sometimes talent does win out. And I sat there and I thought about it. I'm like, you're right. Sometimes it does. And I'm looking at the team this year and the amount of talent accompanied with, it was clear that they were having fun. That clubhouse was clearly together. And then we got to the trade deadline. And all of a sudden, the trades weren't exciting anymore. And now there was talk about moving Hosmer, and they're asking Hosmer questions about it. And he was clearly annoyed and bothered by it. Is it possible that this trade deadline might have had a negative effect on that Padre clubhouse, and we are seeing it kind of slowly poison onto the field?
It could be. It certainly could be. It's hard to know. I think you always run that risk when the trade deadline comes and you have, you know, what looks to be a good thing and you need to add some pieces, and you know, the rumor mill starts to kick out and, you know, it leaks out. And listen, we talk about it all the time. These players are human beings. They hear these things. And as you said, it doesn't sit well all the time. And listen, I don't know. What I do know is AJ Preller keeps things pretty close to the vest. Mm-hmm. And so this is an example of probably why he does, because when it leaks out the way it does, it can be hurtful to guys and it can affect performance. Not to say that it has. So it certainly can be one of those situations. I tend to believe that, you know, when you're losing, those things start to kind of bubble up. Mm-hmm. Had they went on to win yesterday after that big game in the ninth inning where they tie it up the night before that, we might be having a different conversation right now. But certainly, you can't just throw that aside. It certainly could be something, but this team just hasn't played well. Even before you got to the deadline, they were already not playing well. So after the deadline, it seemingly has gotten worse. You're right.
You know, and I know AJ Preller did sign that long extension, but this collapse, I mean, I don't expect him to be on the hot seat, but you think that the Padres, you know, other front office members, maybe president of the whatever, you think they might be looking at this thinking, uh-oh, we did spend quite a bit of money, we did a lot, and this is a pretty nasty collapse? Or do you think it's just move forward onto the next season if this doesn't work out?
I think we have to wait and see. I tend to believe that this won't lead to anything like that, at least from AJ Preller's standpoint. But that being said, there's still a month and some change of this season to go. There's still some time. They're only one out to get this thing going. The thing is, if they get in none of this stuff is matters. Because now it's you're in a one game playoff and it's win or go home. So I don't know that even if they played their best, could they win this division? And that was known going in, right? I mean, it was the Dodgers and Padres is what we thought. The Giants have turned out to be the pace setters, not only in the National League West, but all of baseball. So I just think that they got to try to figure out a way to get in and then take care of things from there. But all of those things probably are in play with the exception of, you know, the collapse causing, you know, a guy like AJ Preller to have to go.
Yeah, and you know, we're not to focus all on the Padres because this NL wild card is not just about the Padres. I mean, we talked about the Dodgers. The Dodgers currently have the first wild card. They've won 9 of their last 10, and this should tell you how good the Giants have been. The Dodgers have won 9 of their last 10, gained 1 game.
I know, and that's been the case all season long. Even when the Padres were going with them head to head, they couldn't gain any ground because the Giants keep winning ball games. But you got a big series coming up starting tomorrow, Dodgers, Padres. Padres really trying to get their season turned around immediately as we head down the stretch. And the Giants, to me, are starting to have some slippage a little bit. I mean, they've gained the one game, but the Dodgers don't seem to be losing any steam right now. They seem to be picking it up. Those two additions have been tremendous for them since they've gotten Trey Turner and Max Scherzer. So I don't know that the Giants still, at this point, the way the Dodgers play, I don't know that they're going to hold on. I think they're a good enough team, but the Dodgers are starting to turn it up a little bit.
They are, and the Dodgers are looking like that team that we talked about at the beginning of the season that just looked like the final boss in a video game in the 1980s. Like, you just, like, you can't beat him. He hits you once, and it takes out 40% of your power.
Yeah, they're the Mike Tyson and Mike Tyson punch out at the end. Him just that one shot knocks you down.
It's brutal they play them. But also on top of that, you got the Braves on the NL side, on the East side. The Braves taking over the East. We know that division is bad. But that, you know, that also leads to a lot of things for the NL wildcard as well. It looks like the Braves, and it was my opinion weeks ago. I think about 3-4 weeks ago, I mentioned on this show to you, everyone's focusing on the Mets versus the Phillies. The Braves are going to topple them both. And look, lo and behold, the Braves are arguably one of the hottest teams in baseball, 9-game winning streak. They look really, really good every move they made. And you know what? There was one move in there that we don't talk about. And we talked about just now clubhouse chemistry. Steven Vogt might be a backup catcher right there in Atlanta at the moment. And they also got Darnold getting prepped to come back as well. But Steven Vogt is an incredible presence to have on any ball club. And you know, you have to know what the Braves were doing when they went and traded for Steven Vogt.
Yeah. Great clubhouse guy. And can help a ball club out in many different ways. But I think the reemergence of Max Fried, starting to turn his season around. I mean, this team is 16-2 in the last 18 games. That's how well they play. But I think the one sleepy move they made was Jorge Soler. He has all of a sudden started to pick it up from the power standpoint, and that's the kind of bat they did. You lose a guy like Acuña Jr., you're not going to be able to replace him with one. So they didn't. They went and got a slew of different guys that can do different things and kind of all eat up the production that you're missing from a guy like Acuña Jr. So I think the moves they've made so far has been great, but it's also been, I think, Max Fried adding that extra punch to that rotation. This team looks like they are primed to really run away with it. We just saw the Phillies. They're playing some good baseball. They had some good starting pitch in this three-game series. However, that Braves team seems to be turning into the team that I think we anticipated them being at the beginning of the season.
And I agree with you. I think all those moves they made, from Jock Peterson to Soler to picking up Adam Duvall, was a sneaky move, man. They knew what they were doing from the get-go, and look at what that team's doing. And like you said, Max Fried throwing a Greg Maddux-esque complete game the other day. This is a team that I think is not only going to win this division, they're going to give somebody a headache come October, whether it's the Giants or the Brewers or maybe even the Dodgers. They're going to play somebody, and they're going to beat somebody to go to the NLCS.
Hey, man, listen, Alex Anthopoulos has been on his game since he was in the Dodgers organization, kind of just, you know, adding to his toolbox. All of a sudden, he comes out and he's turned this Braves organization around and has made the right moves at the right time. So this team, as you said, they are primed to run away with this division. I like the Braves. And listen, we could very well, at least at this point, have a very similar matchup to what you saw in last year's NLCS. I'm not counting any of the teams out, especially the Padres, but you'd be a fool to think that those two aren't playing some of the best. But and listen, you can't forget about the Milwaukee Brewers either, man. Mm-hmm. That team is, because they are blowing the rest of that division out, we just kind of like stop paying attention to them. But don't look now. All of a sudden, Christian Yelich is starting to get his swing going again. And listen, I think the addition of Colton Wong, bringing him over from the Cardinals, has been a great signing for the Brewers. They just seemed like they are playing with a lot of confidence. You see that two-headed monster at the top of the rotation too. That continues to dominate baseball. So this postseason, I think no matter who gets in, is going to be a very exciting one, no doubt.
Agreed. And a team we haven't barely even mentioned, except for a slight mention of Votto, is the Reds. The Reds just don't seem to want to go anywhere. And like you mentioned, Votto just put that whole team on his back and carrying them all the way to October. If he does that, I have to assume that he is going to be climbing the ranks for that MVP faster than we can even say a word, because he's already climbed the ranks. But if this team continues the way it is, Joey Votto just might be your NL MVP.
Yeah. Cody, how many times have we talked about optics and who's voting on this? Mm-hmm. I mean, isn't that not the perfect? I mean, it's a storyline that sells, right? I mean, the Reds kind of just, you know, swimming in mediocrity, all of a sudden get hot as he goes on a tear hitting home runs. He's got a crazy amount of home runs in like the last 29 games or something like that. And it seems like all of them of the three-run variety. It seems like every time I look up, Joey Votto is touching home plate with two other guys who scored before him on a three-run shot. So the Padres, with them kind of sinking at this point, Fernando's still doing Fernando things, but it's not with the winning kind of highlights that come behind it. And, mm-hmm. and even though it shouldn't matter, it does matter in these type of votes. It's just the way it is.
And there's one thing that I think people need to, I'm going to say something and people are going to think I'm crazy, but I really want to justify it real quick. When you get to October, you know what teams don't scare me? The Dodgers, the Brewers, the Astros, they don't scare me in October. And here's why. You know exactly what you're getting from those teams. Those teams are dominant. You know you're in for an uphill battle. The teams that scare me in October are teams like the Reds, teams like the Braves, because those teams are inconsistent. But when they are winning, they don't stop winning. And it's frightening. Right. You just don't know what you're getting from that team every single day. They might get shut out and no hit, or they might put up a 20 spot on you. And it's that kind of inconsistency that makes me scared of them.
Yeah, no, it makes perfect sense. That makes perfect sense. I mean, you're right. You don't know what you're going to get from teams like that, because we've seen them play, you know, probably some of their worst baseball and just look like they were lost. Like you watch the Braves. I watched the Braves twice this year, and it was blowing me away, the talent they had and how they look. But now all of a sudden they're playing at that level that I think you thought they should be playing at. And you realize how good they are. But in the back of your mind, like you said, is this going to stay, or is this going to go away at some point? So right now, it doesn't look like it's going away for both of them. Right now, it looks like these teams are playing some of their best baseball and will continue to. But that's the beauty about baseball. Even here right now, as we speak, there's still over a month of games left, a month and a week of games left. So a lot can change from now till then.
Not only that, let's switch it over to the American League side. We spent so much time talking about the National League. There is just as much chaos taking place in the American League. The A's kind of standing pat, playing a little bit of 500 baseball right now. You got the Yankees, who are the hottest team in the American League, just like the Braves on the National League side. What do we expect? We see the Red Sox, another team that's been in the top of their division all season, absolutely tanking this month, taking them out of just about any type of playoff contention. I mean, they're still in it, but they are not looking like the Red Sox of all season. Perhaps this is that whole thing. It's finally the chickens coming home to roost for the Red Sox. We've been talking about, are they real? Are they real? Are they real? it might finally be catching up with them. What do you think we're going to be looking at specifically in the AL East?
Yeah, it's chaotic. It's just what it is in the AL East, because I think Tampa has solidified themselves as the team to be. I think we've talked about that on numerous occasions. But the Yankees are steaming hot right now. 9-1 in their last 10. They've won 9 straight, as you mentioned. Can they catch Tampa? I don't know. Tampa is, they're still playing pretty good ball. They went 7-3. So can the Yankees continue this torrid pace that they're on? I don't know. I do expect them to fully play the same brand of baseball moving forward, which is they've been better on defense. They've been better in the rotation, and all of a sudden, this offense is starting to score runs. And that was really what I think both of us thought was holding them back. Their offense wasn't clicking and playing at the level that they needed to be. They are now. I think Boston still has a chance to get in, but I think it's going to be via the wild card. And listen, they're tied with Oakland right now. So both of those teams slugging it out. Seattle's only 3 games back. Toronto's 4.5 back. I don't know if either of those teams will factor in. My gut says no, even though the Mariners are playing good. But I think that last spot's going to come down between Boston and Oakland.
It could. It very well could. But I'm still holding pat that the Blue Jays are going to make a serious run for this. Only 4 back. And it's a team that really can. But they're a team, like we just mentioned before, like the Reds. They're inconsistent. And that inconsistency scares me, because they can go on a tear right now of 30 straight wins and then go on the following tear of 30 straight losses, that team.
Right, and that's the thing. Their inconsistency is more on the negative side to me. I have a hard time seeing them put together a run there right at the end to catch either the Red Sox or Oakland at this point. But you're right. There's, like I said, just like I said for the Padres, there's still a month left, so we'll see what happens from here on out. But I just see this being a pretty steep hill for the Blue Jays. They got a tough schedule down the stretch too.
You know, you mentioned the Yankees swinging the bats really well, but the one thing that I think can't really go unnoticed is how certain pitchers have stepped up. Tyone has been pitching very well lately.
Yes,
not to mention,
yes,
Heaney pitched a gem the other day for the Yankees. So I'm very excited to see where this race goes. I tend to agree with you. I personally think that the Yankees are going to finish this division in second place. The Rays just seem like a far and away better, more rounded team. And, you know, they are several games up. I like the Mariners a little bit. I think I'm just a little conditioned based on the past 20 years that the Mariners could always look like they're going to be close, but at the end of the day, they're going to finish 8 back.
I mean, listen, they're playing good ball. It's a team that is inspired to play. They are confident, but I'm just sorry. There's no evidence to back it up. Now, I got some guys on that team too. I mean, Ty France and Aztec. For Life Crawford, know him pretty well. I mean, these guys can play, and they are exciting players. However, they got to prove it. I want to see it down the stretch. And if you're asking me to predict, I can't predict in their favor on this one. I just can't.
You know, and last thought on the day about the wild card. You know, we've mentioned on this show before, you and I have discussed it. I've discussed it with John Heyman. I have no doubt that you've discussed it with John Heyman on the show. But John actually put out a tweet yesterday that, again, is eye-opening, because we tend to forget it, and I feel like fans forget it, and it's a way that this whole playoff system is currently set up. And I do think it's plenty flawed. I like that there are a couple more teams in there. I like that there is somewhat of a structure for the wild card. However, I hate the one-game playoff. I hate it. Despise it. And this is what John tweeted this weekend. San Francisco Giants and the Los Angeles Dodgers are the two best teams in baseball. I agree with you, John, wholeheartedly. Going to be a great fight to the finish. A bit unfair to see these teams will have to endure a one-game playoff. It is incredibly unfair that one of these teams has to play a one-game playoff. Do you think that Major League Baseball can, and quite honestly, will address the wild card situation? If nothing else, if you don't add extra teams, I'm fine with that, but can we at least make the wild card game a wild card series?
As a former baseball player, I completely agree. You know, you play this long of a season to have one game end your season. See, it is unfair, and it's something that it's hard to deal with. However, baseball does have a bit of an issue bringing in an audience. And there is no better way to do that than having the drama of a one game, you're in, you're out type deal. Everybody's tuning into it. And so from that standpoint, considering how many issues from a standpoint of bringing in a younger base, which I think is starting to turn their way a little bit, I think it's the right move. I don't think they should address it. I think despite that, you got to get out of that wild card spot if you don't want to be in that one game playoff. I minded it as a player. I don't mind it as much now sitting in the seat that I'm in.
Okay. I don't disagree with you, because I will give you the caveat completely. I'll completely acknowledge that every year, and this is where I kind of come up against the wall about my idea of, hey, this has got to be a series.
Wild
and
card
it's
series.
That
yeah.
Every single time we have a one game playoff, every year, it's the best game of the year. It just is. And I hate to admit it, because it immediately torpedoes my own point. But I have yet to see the wild card game not be the best game of the year.
It is. And it's because of the drama it's basically a game seven. Like, I mean, the first game you see, it's basically a game seven. And I think because of the situation baseball is in terms of audience, you got to maximize that until you bring yourself to a place where maybe you can have a series and there's a more nuanced audience that enjoys that type of thing. But for the time being, I think you leave it alone. You even add some teams and you can make the next round, you know, do what you got to do there. But I still think there needs to be this one game in or you're out playoff from a spectating standpoint.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I just can't wrap my head around the Dodgers winning 105 games this season and getting knocked out by the Phillies, who finished the season with 85 wins. There's something about it that I just can't agree with, but I also understand the other side. It's a no-win situation.
It really is. It really is. We feel that strongly because both of us have been through the gauntlet of playing that long. Right. Mm-hmm. And you would hate to kind of do what you did during the whole course of that season and just get one game. That's it. Of course, that doesn't sit. But, you know, now that I'm not playing anymore, you know, I see it a little through a different lens.
Hey, listen, there's nothing in the record books that says we cannot be hypocrites the moment we retire. And I know for a fact I have been teetering on that line every day since.
Yeah, me and you both, brother.
This has been an incredible episode of Big Time Baseball. Loved cutting it up with you, as always, Tony, talking about the wild card and, of course, talking about Miggy. Where can people find you, Tony?
You can find me at Tony Gwynn Jr. on Twitter and on IG. You can find me at Tony_Gwynn Jr.
Awesome, man. And, of course, check out all his shows over there on The Fan in San Diego and check him out announcing Padre games. You can check me out on Twitter at Decker6 and Antihero Baseball on Instagram. And, of course, follow the show Big Time Baseball wherever you get your favorite podcasts. And, of course, most importantly, the Odyssey app. Like, share, and subscribe. And we will be back here next week giving you everything you need to know in baseball. And let's see how these wild card teams shift going forward. It's an exciting time to be a baseball fan, man.
Indeed, it is. Hopefully, we can have the type of race we've just been talking about down the stretch, because certainly this is the best time of year for baseball.
Absolutely love it. I'm Cody Decker. That's Tony Gwynn Jr. And, of course, this has been Big Time Baseball for Odyssey Sports. Everybody have a great week. And whoever your team is, root for them. But just know the Dodgers are probably better.
Peace.